1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we are very, very proud to announce that we will have a special guest in just a few minutes on our program. And it's an actor that I've admired for a great many years. He is in the current Academy Award nominated Chicago. He is also appearing in a film, the main actress of which was nominated for an Academy Award, Diane Lane, in the movie Unfaithful. You may remember him from such great films as Looking for Mr. Goodbar, Primal Fear. I'm talking, of course, about Richard Gere. He'll be with us in just a few minutes here on The Phil Hendry Show. Latest news, Bin Laden in an audio tape is calling on Muslims to support Iraq. Huh? I thought there wasn't any linkage at all, according to Barbara Streisand. Oops. A man believed to be Osama bin Laden says, hey, let's support the brothers in Iraq. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. He also said something that is very true. He said, I encourage you to carry out suicide attacks because that's what strikes fear into the Americans and the Israelis. This guy bin Laden is very smart. There's no doubt about that. Nobody would argue that. But I'm talking not just so much in terms of smarts as in ability to, I don't know, collate information, but he has a real keen understanding of the psyche of Americans. He knows exactly what scares us. He speaks directly to those things. When I hear these videotapes, he talks about the suicide attacks. During the post-9/11 Afghanistan attacks, he talked about having a rain or a storm of airplanes over America because he knew that that was scaring the hell out of everybody. Nobody wanted to fly. He has a very good understanding of us. He knows that we are on some level soft. He knows that we are on some level desperately trying to hang on to the good life. Even to the point where we will deny reality, which is what's happening right now among many of my fine fellow contemporary Americans, everybody denying the reality of the need to engage the enemy. Oh, well, you know, it's not really that bad. You see, bin Laden, he doesn't have anything to do with Iraq, and we'd be making the people of Iraq suffer. Janice pointed out something really interesting to me today. By the way, I got so many things I want to ask, but one of the things I want to ask, do we have anybody listening to the show right now who is from France? Anybody who would dare call me and defend your country's latest actions, which is to deny the Turkish people the right to defend themselves? Now, keep in mind that France is a member of NATO, but they're not committed militarily. So the French, doing what they do so well, they open their big mouths, but they're not going to put any troops behind it. And they have gotten together with the Germans, who are so guilty about invading France, I guess, all these many years ago, and having Hitler stand there near the Eiffel Tower and get all those photo ops, that they'll just do anything the French want. And then, oh, yeah, the Belgium people are on board because whatever. It's just, you know, they eat too much there in Belgium. The problem with the Belgian people, all those cakes and pies and donuts, just, and the lunches they pack over there. Have you ever seen the Belgian people? What do you know about the Belgian people? Every time you see one of them, they got a lunchbox the size of a dumpster. So, today, very interesting article, I was reading about the Iraqi women who have suffered as much, if not more, under Hussein than the women of Afghanistan have suffered under the Taliban. Now, you don't hear any women in America talking about that. You certainly don't hear Mavis Leno talking about it. And you don't hear these women in black talking about it. And you don't hear these women who are going to go over there and be human shields talking about it. And I don't hear anybody talking about it. The women of Iraq who suffer as much, their husbands are missing, their children are tortured, they're raped. But, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. We don't want to get into that because then that would make too much sense. And then we'd actually have to commit to a war, and we'd have to, you know, take down Hussein, which would be the only moral, justifiably moral thing to do. And right now we're still trying to hold on to the good life. We're still trying to hold on to those B tickets for the Space Mountain. We're still trying to get into California Adventure. We're still trying, you know, it's like 1940. If you've ever read any history, 1940 in America was a great year. Everybody was living as if the world would never end. And within a year, it would. Everybody was having picnics and going to dances, and same thing here. Instead of just doing what is right, what we know is right, what we know we got to do, we're coming up with every excuse in the world why not to do it. Now the latest. Bin Laden urges suicide attacks. He urges the people to support Saddam Hussein. He calls the Iraqi soldiers our brothers. He says, nanny goat. He survived the bombardment there in Tora Bora or Bora Bui or whatever the hell it was. It was, what the hell was that place? It was like an island in Tahiti. He said, didn't get me. He said, big deal. They dropped those bombs, didn't touch us. We sat there in October, we got the crap bombed out of us, didn't touch us at all. So not only does the guy slaughter 3,000 Americans and other nationals of other countries who are our guests, he is encouraging more of it. He says we're weak. He says we're scared. He says we're not up to the battle. He says that America can be defeated by just hunkering down there in a hole in the ground and hanging on because he did it. You can do it too. He says that Iraq is a country filled with our brothers, that it is a struggle of Muslim against infidel. He said, kill as many Americans as you can. He renewed that call. Kill as many Americans as you can using suicide bombs because that's what scares the hell out of the Americans. Use suicide attacks against the Israelis, scares the hell out of them. And the guy's basically standing there and jumping up and down and waving his arms and saying, come get me. And here we are. Debating whether we ought to do it or not. Debating whether it ought to be, whether it's a sensible thing to do or not. What we're waiting for is what? Well, what a lot of people tell me is, well, if we start this war, then we'll be encouraging them to attack us. That's what a bully, that's how you appease a bully. If we provoke him, he's going to hit us, so we should just be quiet and sit on our hands. That's what these people are asking us to do. Just shh, don't say anything. Don't provoke him. That is the most cowardly thing you could think. That's the most cowardly possible position that you could take. Sometimes you just got to go in there and do what you got to do. It's a bad thing. I don't want to hurt any Iraqi civilians either. I'll tell you what, though. 6 to 8 weeks later, we got medicine. We can airdrop food to them, as opposed to the alternative, which is being recommended by, I don't know, whoever you want to mention these days. Who's the latest? Dustin Hoffman. They would like the UN sanctions to go on in perpetuity so that more of these people can die, and it'll still be our fault, of course. But they would much prefer the UN sanctions that apparently people are telling me murder all the Iraqi civilians to a 6 to 8 week war, a campaign which conceivably at the other end of it could open up the avenues of some kind of human aid to these people, some kind of humanitarian aid. But that I didn't want to do that. According to, who is it now? Susan Sarandon, that wouldn't be a good idea. According to Richard Gere, according to Madonna, wouldn't be a good idea. Al Jazeera is going to run this tape. Now, you know, some people say this is perfect. He's trying to bait us into a war. If we don't get into one, then he can't bait us into one, and we'll just sit here. And we'll sit here and we'll do what? What are we going to do? Twiddle our thumbs while Hussein sits there and does what he does, which is against what everybody said he's supposed to do? They had all of these resolutions. Or are we going to wait for another terrorist attack just to make doubly sure that we had to get... Tell you what, man, that World Trade Center wasn't bad enough. Let's just wait for another one. You mean like the Sears Tower? Yeah, if he can take that one down, then I'm all for a war. Other than that, I'm going to just sit and not do anything. I said, what are you waiting for, like a plane to fly into Disneyland? Keep talking. I need ideas. All right. Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Stick around. Richard Gere next on The Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com, and our official Western Estate Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt is up for grabs. You can pick one up. It comes in small, medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. It's there on our website in the souvenir shop, along with the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt, the official Phil Henry Show t-shirt, and all of our best of CDs. Available on our website, PhilHendryShow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Now, Phil Hendry.
He is currently seen on screens across this country in the Academy Award-nominated film Chicago. He's also co-starring with the Academy Award-nominated Diane Lane in the movie Unfaithful. We're very happy to have on our program to answer a few questions for us about a variety of things, movies and politics, actor Richard Gere. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing great. I saw the comments you made about President Bush, and I'll get into that in just a minute.
All right.
But I first wanted to ask you, you're a Buddhist, correct?
Yes.
And as a that's your religion, right?
Yeah.
You don't sound sure.
No, I'm sure. I'm a Buddhist. I don't know what it is you're going to ask me, because if it has to do with Tibet, I'm going to be on shaky ground.
It was about Tibet, because you said you wanted to free Tibet. I remember that whole free Tibet thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. You wanted a free Tibet of the Chinese?
Yes, I did.
All right. If you wanted a free Tibet of the Chinese, then why wouldn't you want a free Iraq of a dictator like Saddam Hussein?
See, I knew you'd ask me that, and I don't really know.
Then what was the whole kick with you in Tibet?
Well, the kick was that in my business, Phil, I'm sure you're familiar with it, image is everything. To campaign on behalf of a free Tibet is hipper than to campaign on behalf of a cause that is supported by Republicans or by people who are in favor of war in this country. I don't quite know how to explain it, because I really don't understand it myself. But it's just, you'd have to talk to my agent, because he's more familiar with these image things.
So in other words, the image of freeing Tibet is hipper than the image of freeing Iraq.
Yes, exactly. But I again, you'd have to talk to my publicist about this.
All right, let's get back to your comments about President Bush. You said that his war against Iraq, it's a bizarre bad dream. There doesn't appear to be any sort of basis for any of this. Why do you feel that way?
Well, one of the things, the reason why I said that, Phil, is that as an actor, I have not exactly been hitting it out of the park lately. I don't know whether you saw the Academy Award nominations, but Chicago was nominated for 13. Every actor in the movie was nominated except me.
I even noticed the Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah is like, that's like nominating Aunt Jemima. I don't know. I got missed on that, and I got missed on Unfaithful. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to toe a Hollywood line so that I can get noticed a little bit more and maybe get some work that is going to get me noticed on the screen.
I mean, I think you're a good actor.
Thank you.
I really do. I think you're a phenomenal actor, but like a lot of actors that I've heard lately, when you open your mouth about politics, especially about this Iraq thing, you really don't know what you're talking about, do you?
No, I really don't. Again, you'd have to talk to my publicist, but I'm trying to catch a hold of this wagon that so far has some very impressive people on it. Dustin Hoffman, Barbara Streisand, you mentioned Susan Sarandon, you mentioned Martin Sheen, Dave Matthews, I understand, who...
I understand. The great Dave Matthews, a musician, is on that anti-war thing.
Yes, he is. So I want to get a hold of that, get on board, so that I can sort of, look the part. I can be included in that anti-war thing, kind of like the Hollywood 10 back in the days of the communist witch hunt.
We're talking with Richard Gere, great actor. He is in the currently appearing in the Academy Award nominated movie Chicago, although you didn't get nominated.
No, I did not.
Why?
I wasn't as good as everybody else. I didn't seem to really know the material that well. I wasn't able to really capture the essence of the material, and as a result, my performance was substandard. And as a result, all these other actors, including people who've been acting for about 4 minutes, like Queen Latifah, which I thought was something you found at the Tiki Bird Room in Disneyland. I didn't know what the hell that was. So it's pretty wild.
All right, Richard. Again, getting back to your comments about President Bush. You say we have to say stop. There's no reason for a war at the moment. Hussein is not threatening anybody. What do you say to the reports we've had that the women of Iraq do suffer under Hussein, and that political prisoners have been taken and are missing, and on top of that, that now we see Osama bin Laden has joined in a call to resist America on behalf of Saddam Hussein?
See, that stuff, I'm completely at a loss. I was just parroting what I heard Streisand say. About
when she said what?
When she said something about not Iraq didn't fly the
Oh yeah, Iraq didn't attack the towers.
Right. So
you're parroting her?
Yeah, I saw it. She said it, so I thought I'd say it. Now I realize it sounds kind of stupid because what you're saying. But again, you have to understand, Phil, where I'm coming from. As a Hollywood actor, I am not particularly bright about foreign affairs. I can put on the face of understanding it. But when it is a photo op kind of soundbite situation, I can throw out a few things, then split, and I don't have to explain it.
So why would you agree to be in an interview with me?
Because I thought you'd have the good taste not to bring it up. I thought you were going to talk about my acting career.
Of course I'm not. Of course I'd like to sit here and query you further about Iraq, because you have said some phenomenally stupid things.
Thank you.
Now, what about Dustin Hoffman? Do you know him?
I don't know if I do or not. Do I?
I don't know.
Okay, so I don't know.
Is he as dumb as he sounds?
No, he's not really. He's a good actor. He's a good actor. But get him off the stage, get him out in front of cameras, and he's looking for bubblegum wrappers. Seriously, he doesn't know how to fill a prescription. He wouldn't know how to get the oil changed in his car. I mean, this is exactly what it is. So if I'm babbling...
Yeah, you do sound like you are.
Well, it's because I really don't... I can't answer these questions, but...
Well, let me look at... Here's another quote from you, Mr. Gere, Richard Gere with us. If the United States marches into Iraq without the backing of the United Nations, that will be done entirely without the backing of the American people. Can you, as long as you like that word, backing, can you back that statement up?
No, I can't.
Okay, so you don't really know what you're saying there either.
No, I just...
For instance, the illogic, if the United States marches into Iraq without the backing of the United Nations, if we had the backing of the United Nations, would you be in favor of the war then? See, in other words, up here you say there's no reason for a war, but then down here you say without the backing of the United Nations. If the backing of the United Nations were there, would there be a reason for war?
I got a call...
Ms. Streisand?
Somebody. I don't know what to say to that. I would have to.
All right. And then you say that would be done entirely without the backing of the American people. 55% of the American people are in favor of going to war, even without the United Nations backing.
Right. I didn't know that.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that. But I say those things because, again, they're soundbite quality. I can toss them off. A lot of my very obsequious fans will buy it and think that I'm brilliant for it. And so it sustains me a little bit. It is disappointing, obviously, to be in movies where other actors get noticed. Primal Fear was the beginning of that, when I thought I was really doing a brilliant turn as that attorney, and Edward Norton just stole the movie. Now we got this bitch, actress Diane Lane, who, you know, she...
got an Academy Award nomination?
Yeah. Then we got Chicago, and you talk about taking a steel-toed, petroleum-based boot right to the nuts. I saw that. I'm telling you, Phil, I saw the...
Look, this is Best Picture, Chicago. Actor, let me see, is anybody nominated from your film?
That should have been me.
Okay, so there's nobody there. Actress, Renee Zellweger for Chicago. Supporting actor is John C. Reilly for Chicago. He's very good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's great. What is this guy doing?
Okay, and then there's supporting actress, Queen Latifah from Chicago, and director... Rob Marshall of Chicago. So everybody, actor, or not actor, because...
That would have been me.
Right, but actress, supporting everything in the movie, but you didn't get an ad. So, in other words, you sucking the kneecaps of Martin Sheen or whatever the hell it is you do with this Iraq crap didn't help.
No, it did not. It was a miscalculation on my part and my agents and my publicist and my manager. I got to fire him. I got to fire them. I got to find a movie. I got to do something, a play, anything that'll get me noticed. And I guess I probably won't say anything about the Iraq thing. Is it too late for me to say I'm in favor of the war?
Probably, yeah.
All right. So.
Thank you, Richard Gere. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Phil. Always a pleasure.
Richard Gere, the great actor who was stiffed for a nomination in Chicago. Everybody else got one but him. He's a good actor, but I guess he ain't that good. Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, you should go to the Phil Henry Show website for a lot of things. One, the most important reason, though, to get a backstage pass that gives you access to all of our classic comedy archives, all of our long-form and short-form stuff, a 30-day archive of all of our shows going back 30 days. So if you missed a show over the last 30 days, you can look up the date, click on it, hear the entire show, or go to a select hour, go to a select segment, whatever you'd like to do. Our backstage pass for only $6.95 a month gives you access to all of it. Now, here's one that's going to go into our archives. This is from yesterday. It's Bob Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, explaining how employees should approach their boss for a raise.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Let me say something, Rebecca. You called this show. You were quite willing to tell me about how much you have oral sex with your husband, and I didn't even ask you.
No, she did not.
No, I did not. I told you it's none of your business.
You jumped right in on the topic. You jumped right in and started swimming.
It's none of your business. My boss would never have asked me that question.
Let me ask you a question.
That is so demeaning.
Let me ask you what. You say my guys. What business do you and your husband run anyway? A brothel?
What is it with you?
What does she mean, my guys?
My husband's guys. My husband's employees. Is that better? My husband's employees. My husband's employees were willing to take a few hours cut and pay to save their job.
Well, things
got better. My husband gave them the 40 hours back.
Ain't that something? So you and your husband cut their pay, and you go home, and you jump right into the jacuzzi.
We don't have a jacuzzi, sir. We don't have a jacuzzi. We don't have a pool. And I work 40 hours a week.
So you didn't get on the air 5 minutes ago and say something about swallowing. You didn't say...
No, she didn't.
No, I did not. I said it was none of my boss's business how much I have oral sex, if I have oral sex,
and how many times I get on my knees.
We're talking about trying to get a raise here, Mr. Green. Why do you have to know these intimate things?
Well, you're right.
You don't.
You're right, I don't. I do it, quite frankly, because...
Did the man who you asked pictures from give you pictures of him and his wife having sex?
Yes, he did.
He is a despicable husband. If I found out my husband did this...
He wanted the money.
Well, you know what?
Do you have
I'd
pictures?
Get a second job before I'd ask you for money.
Tell you what, if you have... I'm going to say something to you right now, Rebecca. If you have pictures of you and your husband, I will hire you right now, sight unseen, for $97,000 a year.
I would take your ass to court. I will have you go bad in court. It's not even funny. I would let them tape a wire onto me. You walk into my bathroom while I am taking a constitution, I'd have your ass in court.
I'll pay you.
If you want to see me, my boss has needed me when I have been in the ladies' room. He sends another young lady in there and says, "Can you please see your boss when you're out of the bathroom?"
I'm not looking at you. It's that simple.
There's a matter of respect between employees and employers. And you have crossed that line of respect, Mr. Green.
Right.
You have no moral values at all.
Why would you ask questions like this?
You want the truth?
Yes.
Because he's a dirty old man, is what he is.
All right, I'll tell you, because I'm lonely. My wife died 4 years ago.
Well, you know what? Then get another wife or start meeting Rosie and her five sisters in the bathroom. Because you don't need employees like this. Your employees are good people, Mr. Green.
Your wife
and
died.
And they don't need you.
Your wife died of what?
She died...
A broken heart.
She died from cancer.
Well, you know what?
No,
I don't
died.
Feel
I'm sorry.
This
sorry.
Is, you're not going to
I'm sorry. No,
convince
she died in an automobile accident. I forgot.
So what was it? Did she not die? Or is she just locked in a closet somewhere?
She died 3 years ago in an automobile accident.
You said she died 4 years ago,
Five years ago.
No,
of cancer.
No, I said 4 years ago
Mr. Green, I feel sorry for your employers.
She had cancer and she died in a car wreck. That's what I said.
No, you didn't.
Excuse me, I'm
going to get off the phone now.
Just to help out a lonely old man.
I feel very sorry for you. I hope someday that you find someone who fills this empty gap in your soul.
My wife killed herself. And I'm asking for you to do is to send me some photographs.
Okay, look, Rebecca, thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, please don't go.
Please, just hang up, Rebecca, please.
Thank you.
Right.
I will.
Please don't go. My wife died 5 years ago.
Bye, gentlemen.
She put her head in the gas oven. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right. Son of a bitch. She died 4 years ago. She died in an automobile accident, but she also had cancer when she died 5 years ago. Did you say 4 years ago? I said 4 years ago, but it's five. Well, why did you say four? Because it seems like four. There you go. Bob Green. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Bob Green. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Pepsi averts potential hip-hop boycott. Pepsi agreed to make a donation to the foundation of a rapper whose ad the company yanked, averting a boycott threatened by hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons. So Pepsi was big and brave and proud 2 months ago when they yanked the ads of Ludacris until they found out that, they hired what's-his-face, you know, the limey, what's his name? Ozzy Osbourne, and he's got just a trash mouth, just as much of a trash mouth as Ludacris, and Russell Simmons pointed that out. So now Pepsi ain't so brave, and now not only have they, you know, have they apologized, but they're going to donate money now to the Ludacris Foundation. Can anybody explain that one? Can anybody in their wildest dream? Thank God for Coca-Cola. Thank God for Coca-Cola. Pepsi, you've been trying for years, years and years with the Pepsi generation and those clown ads that you guys do. Just give me a Coke and shut up. So what does it mean when you say, no wonder kids go out and shoot people randomly. No wonder. It's no wonder. You want to know what makes kids violent? Do you want to know? Because I'll tell you right now, whether you want to believe it or not, I got the answer. It's hypocrisy. That's what drives anybody crazy. Nothing breeds rage like hypocrisy. It's not the video games. It's not the TV shows. It's two parents who say, do as I say, not as I do, who lead corrupt and immoral lives and then expect you, the kid, to toe the line. It's teachers who lie. It's authority figures who live one way and tell you to live another way. It's companies like Pepsi who say, Ludacris, why, we won't have him. It's disgusting. And the language, they cave in this way one day, they cave in that way another day. Pepsi doesn't know which way to turn and how much Vaseline to use, man. They just want to make everybody happy. One minute their butt's turning that way, the other day it's going that way, there's another day it's going that way. And today now, instead of saying that Ludacris is a foul-mouthed rapper that they don't want to plug in their stuff, well, they're giving money to his foundation. Any kid that sees that, they go, yeah, you know, the whole world's full of crap. That's okay, kids, because you can believe me, Phil Hendry. Everything we do on this show is exactly as it seems. There's absolutely no effort at confusing. There's no camouflaging. There's no phony voices. Even when they set Michael Jackson's head on fire, it didn't make him cool. You want to know why, Pepsi? Because your stuff tastes like syrup. It's sweet, syrupy sludge. It's like sucking pure maple syrup. I like that Coke. I like the fact that Coke used Coke, not that they use it anymore. The agreement was reached Monday night, and the amount of the donation and the length of the time were still being worked out, spokesman Jody Miller said. She said the boycott had been called off. We've come to an agreement where the common ground is young people, Pepsi spokesman Larry Jabonski said in a statement. We're working together on a multi-year, multi-city effort that will encourage kids to express their creativity in the visual and performing arts. Pepsi pulled the ad featuring the rapper Ludacris in August, the day after Fox News Channel Jackass ran a segment criticizing. There's a guy named Jackass on the Fox News Channel? Oh, that's right. He does that hour-long thing with the talking points. Yeah, Fox News Channel spokesman, the right-wing Jackass, ran a segment criticizing the company for using the rapper and criticizing some of his lyrics. Ludacris is on the Def Jam label, which Simmons founded. His 2001 album, Word of Mouth, M-O-U-F, includes the song Move Bitch, one of his biggest hits. Last week, Simmons threatened a boycott of Pepsi and its subsidiaries to begin Wednesday unless the company ran the ad and donated $5 million. What this doesn't tell you is the reason why he threatened the boycott is because Pepsi turned around and hired Ozzy Osbourne, who's got just as foul a mouth. He's got just his trash can of mouth, but because he's white, you understand, I'm sure, Mr. Ludacris.
No, I don't. Why am I not?
Because he's white. White, white, white. I can't push this stuff. Your people don't drink enough of this juice.
What are you talking about? What I'm talking about is your people are too smart to drink Pepsi. I got to push it to the whiteies. Well, I don't think it's fair. Well, you know, it may not be fair.
Well, we're going to boycott your ad. All right, okay. We'll give money to your foundation. What is it? The Ludicrous or whatever, visual performing, whatever the hell it is? Right, you got it. Okay. How much do you want? A whole lot of zeros. That's what I want. You got it. Anything. Just don't put me in bold, man. When you start painting me with that race thing, we're dead meat. I figure the white people are still, they ain't drinking that Pepsi, man. I figure I'd start shoveling that stuff down at the inner city schools. What do you think? Nah, it tastes like piss. All right. Word of mouth. So that's why kids pick up guns and shoot people. They get pissed. Or they're born rotten like that, what's his face, that Dylan and Eric, that Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris. Those two guys just came out garbage from the gate. They were born garbage. Best thing that could have happened to them, somebody taking a tie or a coat hanger and strangled them in their crib. But barring that, some kids actually are born okay, and they can go on to become productive citizens. But when you start playing it fast and loose with the facts and fast and loose with your beliefs, first Pepsi ain't down with Ludacris. Well, now they're giving them money because, hey, they're going to boycott him. And if the last thing Pepsi wants is for the African-American community to get on him. Because that's not cool. You don't do that these days. Forget it. Forget it. That race thing, no way, no way, no way. Now, if you hate women, no problem. The Masters, this April on CBS. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. Show 1-800-449-8686.
It's now time for the Phil Henry Show Imitator of the Week. This week's imitator, Brian Whitman. Yes, Brian's on the air in New York, and he does phony voices over a telephone and then fools old ladies. He does it in New York because he knows I'm not on the air in New York, so I can't bust him. But I heard about it from a faithful suburban New York listener. Brian's heard my show because, hey, he has on occasion worked in Los Angeles. So, if you're in the New York area, be sure to call Brian's show, tell him he blows, and ask him why he's ripping off Phil Henry. This week's Imitator of the Week, Brian Whitman, who, by the way, works for a company that's not very original either. Right, and now it's time for our annual feature. Bud Dickman is going to give us his picks for the Academy Awards and his reviews of each of the Academy Award movies. Welcome aboard, Bud.
Thank you very much, Phil.
All right, go ahead, give us the list of the films, and go ahead and tell us what you think of each and who you think is going to win.
All right. Number one is Best Picture. The nominees are Chicago, which I did not see, and I apologize. Gangs of New York, I did see that, and it was not good. The Hours, I didn't see that. Lord of the Rings, I did not see that. And The Pianist, I didn't see that. I didn't have time.
All right, so who's going to win?
None of them.
What do you mean, none of them?
I didn't see them. Get out of here. Ew, that hurt.
I didn't see any of them. Do we have the R.C. Collins Blowsometer? We're going to have to get that out, okay? In the meantime... Chris Pelton on the steel guitar. We have the Blowsometer? All right, here we go. Yes, I did see Gangs of New York, and...
On the R.C. Collins Blowsometer? Broccoli!
Yep. It really... I don't understand how it got nominated. I have no clue, because it doesn't make any sense. The only guy that's worth watching is Daniel Day-Lewis. He's great. But the rest of the cast, the rest of the movie... is incomprehensible. I don't get it. In fact, I was having dinner with some producers, some Hollywood producers, and...
Oh, who gives a sweet Christ?
I beg your pardon?
Who cares?
Who cares about what?
I was having dinner with a producer.
I was having dinner with a guy that produces movies.
So what? Yeah, don't you just be a human being and not be with your nose up your own butt?
I happen to know some stuff.
Who cares that you... Gangs and... Who saw it, you dick?
Come here for a minute.
No, I won't.
Come here. All right, never mind. I won't talk to you about it. I don't care. But it sucked. All right, this is very important. Your children... Oh, no, wait a minute. I got this. This is really important. Roman Polanski. I'm going to talk about this. Roman Polanski has been nominated as the director of the movie The Pianist. That's spelled P-I...
E-N-I-S.
No, it's not. It's P-I-A-N-I-S-T. The Pianist is a movie about...
some guy's thing.
It's a movie about the freak... A guy that plays piano, dummy. Now, the guy that directed it was a cat named Roman Polanski. You may have heard of him. You may not have. But the guy was busted 25 years ago for having sex with a 13-year-old. Now, were this 15, even 10 years ago, we'd all be on the air here, you guys and myself included. People would be calling, and I would be saying, and we'd all be in agreement, oh, it's been so long ago, let's let the guy off the hook, let him come back to America and get his Academy Award. But because of the revelations about Catholic priests and the like from last summer, we are all now agreed, up in arms, and we're lockstep down with the party line. Bad man, can't come back to America. But point of fact is, it is a pretty scummy crime. But these people are asking, will he show up? Yes, that's what he's going to do. Literally, people are saying, will Roman Polanski show up? Will he not? This is going to be interesting. He's been wanted. He's a fugitive from American justice for 25 years on a statutory rape and child molestation rap. Will he show up for his Academy Award? No. No, he won't show up for his Academy Award. It ain't that big of a deal. Do you understand? Do you get it? Academy Award's fine. Getting hauled off by the LAPD and thrown into county down there in the gang lockup, that ain't. Given the choice between grabbing an Academy Award and staying free, even if it's in France, which is where he lives, it's a toss-up, but I take France. So no, he ain't going to show up for his Academy Award. I wouldn't show up for my Academy Award. And if he wins, people say, why isn't he here? It must be one of those Marlon Brando, George C. Scott things. He must think he's better than the ceremony. No, he didn't want to go to jail, you idiot. The Academy Award, everybody shows up for that. Yeah, well, everybody shows up. In other words, here's your Academy Award. Now, here's the guillotine. Wasn't it worth it? No, he's staying away, man. He ain't never coming back. Polanski ain't never coming back. He's never going to come back. And aren't we just the lesser people for it? Aren't we just the poor culture for it? No. No, we're not. See, you didn't see Bitter Moon like I did. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686.
Did that little girl see Polanski's Pianist? Ow.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. And now, Phil Hendry.
Today, a message from Osama bin Laden. Support the Iraqis. Osama bin Laden voicing his support for the Iraqi regime, saying that all Muslims should support Iraq in their war against the United States. And, of course, that message takes us even closer to a eventual war with Iraq. We're talking, as you know, on occasion to the young people who fight in our military. Now, we have a young man who's actually not in the United States military. He is with a military academy in Altadena, California. It is Bradley Military Academy, and this is Cadet Collins, R.C. Collins. You're a junior cadet?
Yes, sir. I'm a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy, scheduled for a commission in the year 2004, hopefully with the United States Army.
So you're not in the Army right now?
Well, I mean, technically, no, but we're on the front line. Everybody knows what's expected of us, so we're ready to rock and roll.
All right. Let me ask you a question here. You guys who are involved in this war, I say you're not really, you're a military academy cadet, so you're not really involved in the war.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry, if I could, to clarify some things for you. We are military cadets, but it's very probable that we'll be called up, and we're very proud of that.
Are you afraid?
No, sir, I'm not afraid.
Do you think that we'll be victorious? Do we have the troops?
Absolutely, sir, we have the troops. And yes, we will be victorious. I got to tell you something, Mr. Henry, something that kind of a burr under my saddle. Right now in Washington, D.C. is the Vietnam War Memorial Wall. And while I think the Vietnam veterans are to be honored, the Iraq War will provide us with also people that need to be honored. The difference between the Iraq War, which will be fought by my generation, and the Vietnam War, which was fought by maybe your generation or older, is the fact that we will be victorious in Iraq, and with the greatest of respect to the Vietnam veterans, they was not. So we believe that a wall honoring the Iraq War veterans is necessary.
Well, I'm sure that one's going to be built, right?
Well, but I think it goes further, Mr. Henry. I think that...
In other words, this isn't about us or them. One will be built for the Iraqi veterans.
But the Iraqi veterans deserve the best possible place, and that place would be in Constitution Park.
That's where the Vietnam Memorial is.
Yes, sir. And we are requesting that the United States government now transfer that memorial to the Iraq War veterans. Our military academy, while we may not be called up immediately, stand at the ready. We have sandblasters and wire brushes where we could take those names off and replace them with Iraq War veteran names.
Wait a minute. The Vietnam War Memorial, the wall, has the names of men and women who died in Vietnam.
Yes, sir.
All right. You guys are proposing to take those names off and make that the Iraq War Memorial?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Well, I think we do have some precedent.
What?
Again, I don't know whether you want me to say it or not.
What would give you the right to take the names off the Vietnam...
Mr. Henry, I'm not trying to be argumentative.
All right, but I feel strongly. What would give you the right to take the names off the Vietnam War Memorial and replace them with Iraq War names?
Because the Vietnam War veterans did not win their war. And,
well, I don't think...
Mr. Henry, if I could, I think you need to understand. I believe that there should be three stages of memorials. If you won your war, then your veterans should get a memorial in Washington, D.C. If you tied your war, like in Korea, then I think places like Philadelphia or Kansas City should have your war memorial. But if you lost it, I think a very good solution is a traveling memorial. Currently, the Vietnam War Memorial does travel around the country.
Well, I know that, and that gives people who may not get to Washington, D.C., an opportunity to see a replica of it. But that's not the real memorial.
No, but the replica could become the memorial, and it travels around.
It just wouldn't have a permanent home in Washington.
No, sir, it would not.
Because they didn't win their war?
Mr. Henry, I honor each and every Vietnam veteran.
Hold on, wait a minute, man. You're saying that, but you're not really doing it with your actions. You want to go to D.C. with a sandblaster and a wire brush and start taking those names off.
No, that's just what we in our military academy volunteer to do until we're old enough for active duty. But we want to do this for our Iraq War veterans who, on account of, they'll win.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do the Iraqi war veterans deserve their own memorial? Chances are yes. They haven't even fought the war yet, but chances are yes. Do they deserve to have it in place of the Vietnam veterans? Mr. Collins here says they do, because what? Because Iraq will be a victorious war and will...
It'll overshadow Vietnam, which was pretty tough to swallow. Even now, 30-plus years later, the whole Vietnam War is pretty tough to swallow.
Not to the veterans, not to the guys that fought there, not to the guys that want to go to the wall.
Yeah, but to the rest of us it is. The veterans may want to go to that wall, but the rest of us, it's pretty tough to swallow.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Why do you have to take the Vietnam Vet Memorial? You say that it's because that they didn't win their war.
Well, you see, the Vietnam War wall is reminding people that we lost. And at this time, with the impending war with Iraq, we need to instill a winning attitude. And I do honor the Vietnam veterans.
Well, why can't you just put the Iraqi War Memorial somewhere else?
The other areas are not optimum in terms of foot traffic.
What about on the Capitol Mall?
They wouldn't put it on the Capitol Mall. There's nothing there except grass, then the reflecting pool, and then the Washington Monument. And that's closed. You can't get into it because of the Al-Qaeda flying a plane into it. Also, over to the left of the monument is the Vietnam Memorial. Everybody goes there because they want to go see the monument, too. That's why it would be good for the Iraq War Memorial.
So the poor Vietnam vets have to take...
Oh, Mr. Henry, please, not the poor Vietnam vets. I think they've had their butts kissed long enough, and I say that with great respect. But the fact of the matter is, instead of kissing butt, maybe we ought to kick some. My generation's going to go to Iraq and give them an ass-kicking. And
I will tell you this, son.
Sir, I'm a cadet. I'm not your son.
You want to get tough with me?
No, sir. I'm not getting tough with you. I'm just a cadet. I'm not your son.
Okay, cadet. The Vietnam vets served their country. They deserve a memorial.
Nobody is saying that they don't.
They deserve a permanent memorial, not one that's going to travel around the country.
What's wrong with it traveling around the country?
Then it becomes a memorial that doesn't have... And you say it's got to travel around the country because they lost their war.
It's a gradation. It's a three-step process. We're proposing three separate levels. Mr. Henry, I want to take my children to Washington and show them my name on the Iraq War Memorial. I want to be able...
Wait, your name?
Yes, sir, because I'm certain I will be fighting over there.
Okay, and if I had been fighting in Vietnam, where do I get to show my kids my name?
I think you need to explain first that you didn't win your war and that you're going to have to go to, like, San Diego to see it or something, or, you know, or wait till it comes to town.
1-800-4... You don't say you want to disrespect them, but you are.
I don't think so, sir.
I think you are. 1-800-449-8686... William, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
I want to tell this young fella who's doing all this talking about getting his name on that memorial.
Yes,
the only
sir.
Way he can get his name on there is if they kill him. And I don't believe that he could take his children or anybody else, if he was dead, to show him his name on any memorial.
What if you win the Congressional Medal of Honor?
And wait.
If you win the Congressional Medal of Honor,
just a minute.
Your name will be on it.
Let the man talk, R.C.
I've fought in World War II. I was in during Korea and Vietnam. I fought in 9 battles during World War II. And I served my country for 30 years. And this young fellow is talking about getting his name on a memorial, which is not... That memorial is not for people who are living. That memorial is for people who died fighting for our country, and just because they supposedly didn't win that war, they won the war when President Nixon dropped the bombs on North Vietnam, and they ended the ceasefire.
What?
And if he doesn't know, he ought to read a little bit about history.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Vietnam War. You wanting your name on that memorial?
Oh, but wait a second. If I do enough good stuff in Vietnam, like I blow up something, they'll put it on there because I'm a hero.
No, they won't. Heroes are not put on there, son. The only ones that are on there are people who died fighting for their country.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You spent 30 years in the service, and did you get your name on it? No. Oh, you got
it. I didn't want my name on it. I'm still living.
Drinking beer or something.
No, I'm not drinking beer. I don't drink and I don't smoke. And I'm 80 years old.
You don't smoke?
No,
okay,
I don't
listen,
smoke, and I'm 80 years old, and you're the most disrespectful young man that I have ever heard talk about this country,
absolutely.
And you don't know what it means to be a real patriot.
Sorry, sir, I apologize.
You better apologize.
I apologize, sir.
What was your
reaction? You don't even know what it means to go to Washington, D.C. and see our president take the oath.
I apologize.
You don't know what it means to be in combat yet. And I hope that when you do, if you ever have to, you might not ever even get over there. You don't know for sure.
I hope I do, sir. I hope I get
well, then the thing for you to do is get of age first and then volunteer. But
I'm 16 years old.
You got 2 more years, kid.
Well, you got 2 years. The war will be over by the time you get there.
Hey, Mr. Henry, with all due respect, I'm talking to a veteran. You can take kid and shove it. Sir, could I...
Don't talk to me like that.
You didn't serve our country. Sir, could I ask you your...
How do you know if he didn't serve our country?
Because he said he didn't.
Look, I pay taxes. That's service enough.
Sir,
that's right.
Can I ask you what your rank was, sir?
Pardon me?
What was your rank? What rank did you attain?
I was a chief petty officer in the Navy.
Semper Fi.
That's the Marines.
That's the Marines. You don't know what Semper Fi is. See, you don't know beans.
Sir, could you... Is it possible to get your name on a stool down at the American Legion Hall?
On a what?
On a bar stool.
Why would I have it on a bar stool? I don't go to the American Legion.
Oh, I know.
I don't sit at the bar. I don't drink. Now, if you drink at age 16,
yes, sir,
which is possible these days, I know you kids sneak around and do it,
yes,
and
sir,
you smoke pot,
no,
and
sir,
you talk about serving this country.
No, sir,
listen,
I don't
son,
smoke
you
pot.
Don't know what it means to serve this country yet. You don't even know history.
Yes,
you better
sir,
get
you?
Your history book out and study and start reading about
what
the
years?
Vietnam War.
Yeah, what years
Have you ever
it?
Went to a VA hospital and seen some of the Vietnam War veterans who sit there and have got legs shot off and who've got legs swollen up so big that they can't walk and who are running around in wheelchairs?
You know, that's something I never did understand. How do you get your leg blowed off when you can just run around the explosion? I saw Sylvester Stallone do it in Rambo. And he
well,
you
don't
you
run
what,
around the explosion.
Sylvester Stallone has not anything to do with the Vietnam War.
Right. All right.
All you've ever seen is a stinking movie, and that is not real.
Sir,
if I'll tell you how they get them blowed off. They get blowed off trying to save somebody else's life.
Well,
because they saved maybe onto a grenade, or they were in a shell from the cannons or something, you know?
That doesn't make
I also
sense.
Served in the Army as a second lieutenant for 2 years.
Were you in the wax, too?
All right, smartass. Listen, William, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm 1-800... sick of that kind of people. You ought to even have him on your program.
What do you mean, was he in the wax?
Well, he's in the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard.
No, I wasn't either. I was in the Army and the Navy.
I bet you're a police explorer, too.
No, all right. Now, William, never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Before we go on, you have to promise me something.
Yes, sir.
To have respect, especially for the men that served in uniform for this country, have respect.
Mr. Henry, I've got nothing but respect, and I honor every man and woman that ever served this country in uniform, whether they were in country or out of country, whether they were in combat or whether they were in the rear with the gear. Every last one of them I honor. And
then knock it off with the cracks about, were you in the wax, too?
Well, he said he was in all... He said...
I know what he said. He served in a lot of different things. We're talking with R.C. Collins. He's a cadet at the Bradley Military Academy. He believes that the Iraq War should have its own memorial in Washington, D.C., and it should take the place of the Vietnam War Memorial because the Iraq War will be victorious. The Vietnam War wasn't. I think that's an insult to the Vietnam vets.
Well, I don't mean to. I mean, how do you say that? What, are you telling me we won?
I just think it's an insult to the Vietnam vets.
So you're telling me we won?
I didn't say we won. I just think it's an insult to our veterans.
Then we didn't win.
All right, look it, kid. You know what I'm trying to say. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
The is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me, R.C. Collins, a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. You say you love your country, but you're talking about replacing the Vietnam War Memorial with an Iraq War Memorial that will have on it the names of the men who served in Iraq, and that the Vietnam War Memorial will be displaced and taken on the road. It will not be permanent. And you say the reason for that is because they lost the war in Vietnam, and you guys will win the war with Iraq. You're too young to even serve.
I feel confident, Mr. Henry, that I will be able to serve. And I would also at this time like to say that we propose a change in the rules on how you get your name on the war memorial. I think that if you served with distinction, you should get your name on, even if you're not dead. I would like to have my name on the Iraq War Memorial, because I think I will. Father will be visiting Bradley soon, and I would like to greet him with that news.
Your father will be?
Yes, sir.
So you think you're going to serve with such distinction you get your name on the war memorial?
Oh, absolutely, sir. I'm ready to eat my own guts. I'm psycho. Saddam Hussein, you know, if it flies, it dies.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Tom?
Yeah, still here.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Mr. Collins, I'm going to tell you something, son. You need to get a clue on life. You talk about how you're patriotic to your country.
Yes,
you
don't, sir. You don't have a clue,
young man.
Well, what are you talking about?
Let me tell you something, what I'm talking about, young man. My father was on that wall. My father served his country. And you talk about a war not won. Everybody that went over there is a winner, buddy. My father's name's on that wall, and I'd like to see your ass take it off.
Well, wait a second. Your dad's a winner?
Oh, no, don't wait a second.
Your dad's a winner?
You better get you a history lesson, buddy, is what you need.
Your dad's 6 feet under. How's he a winner?
He's a hero. He fought for his country.
Yeah, my dad fought for my country, and I can tell you it's more than you're ever going to do, young man.
I want to fight for my country.
Oh, you want to fight. You talk about how you're a psycho?
Yes, sir.
Psycho's not the word for it, buddy. You have no respect for your country whatsoever to think that you're going to do anything to that wall and take the names of those patriotic sailors, Marine, Air, and Army personnel that are on that wall.
But wait a second. You wait a minute. I'm doing
the talking. You're doing the listening.
So the only thing your dad won was a pile of dirt on his chest.
Right, right.
That's real funny.
You know, hey, it's just a good thing you're not close enough where I could show you what that pile of dirt would look like when I got hold of your ass.
Wait a second. I respect your dad and everything.
You respect all our countrymen, son. If you respected our countrymen, you wouldn't make the comments you made earlier.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something. Mr. Henry does a service to our country. Patriotic Americans.
Right, thank you very much, sir.
Get a clue.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I want you to tell me, R.C., we got Cadet Collins from Bradley Military Academy, and I have your commandant on the line, by the way.
Yes, sir?
I want you to tell me why I'm supposed to tear down the Vietnam War Memorial or allow you to take a wire brush and a sandblaster?
Well, no, just so we can use it again. The Vietnam War Memorial will be traveling, but we can use that one for the Iraq War Memorial, but we will have to sandblast the names off.
Why should we do that?
Look, Mr. Henry, the ass-kicking we got in Vietnam was bad, but we will give an ass-kicking in Iraq. And I think that's the difference.
All right, is Commandant Wireman there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Commandant Wireman, you are the head of Bradley Military Academy.
Yes, sir.
All right, I have on the line here William, and I have R.C. Collins, one of your cadets. William, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Commandant Wireman?
Yes, Phil, I don't quite know what the problem is.
You've got a young man on the line here who is talking about tearing down the Vietnam War Memorial, and this gentleman, William, was taking exception to that.
Yes, sir.
Well, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Sir, are you a regular Army?
Yes, sir, I served with the United States Army at Pleiku.
Okay. And you're, are you still in the service?
No, sir, I'm retired.
Yeah, okay, so
I'm a retired lieutenant colonel.
I'm retired, and I'm just a plain old ensign, which after 17 years of serving as a chief petty officer in the Navy, I was promoted to ensign.
That means he was in the Navy.
Why don't you shut up a minute?
I know what it means, you idiot. Go ahead, Williams, I'm sorry.
This young man does not realize that a person can serve in two branches of the service. Then he accused me of being an explorer or some damn thing.
I said a police explorer. That's pretty good.
Would you please keep your sewer underneath your nose shut so I can listen to this man?
I served in the Pacific during World War II, and I served during Korea and Vietnam. I retired off of Guam in 1967, which the Vietnam War was still going on, and I tried to explain to this young man that...
Where's Guam?
Shut the hole under your nose. Go ahead, sir.
I tell you, you know the first thing you ought to do in the morning is kick that little butthole out of the academy because he doesn't deserve the education that he's getting from you.
Commandant Wireman, Cadet Wireman, did you say to this man that he was in the police explorers?
Sir, I admit it only...
Did you say to this man that he was in the police explorers, yes or no?
Yes, sir.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to have you kiss the gutter's daughter. Take it below, Mr. Henry, for the makings.
I don't even know what the police explorers is. It must be some of those kid games that they play nowadays with the 15, 16-year-old kids.
I think it's some kind of a molestation deal.
Well, if I may jump in...
Would you shut the hole under your nose?
No, it's Mr. Henry, Commandant Wireman.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
The Police Explorers, William, is a youth program that the police have. It's much like Boy Scouts, only it's run by the police.
Oh, well,
I
donate money to them every year for here in Florida.
How could you give them money when you don't even know what they is?
Would you shut the filthy sewer under your nose?
You mean what they are?
Huh?
You mean what they are or what they is? You can't even speak good English.
You don't even speak English very good.
Oh, yeah?
You said what they is.
No, it's what...
said what they is.
You said what they is. He's quoting it back.
You're right.
Sir, Father donated a lot of money for the Commandant's ball. I'll never get kicked out of Bradley.
My bare ass. I will have you out in civvies on the street tomorrow.
You bet. And that's where he belongs.
You disrespect, as a matter of fact.
The reason he's there is because his father and mother don't want him. That's the truth. That's why they send you to places like that with the attitude that you have.
William, sir, I can assure you Father won't like this.
Well, I don't care what your father likes. I don't know him, and I don't ever want to know him if he's anything like you.
Bend over. You're kissing the gunner's daughter.
No, sir.
Yes.
We use
sugar cane, William. We can use a Raton cane on them, and we hit the bare end of their feet. I can tell you something. It doesn't leave a bruise, and it can certainly cause a great deal of pain, sciatic, all the way up the back.
Well, he's got enough sciatic. He needs...
What the hell is going on?
None of your business. Yeah, I love it.
He's a psycho, I think.
Good Lord.
You better get rid of that kid or else he's going to ruin your whole academy.
Hey, William, when you fought with General Lee, did you get a lot of that southern porn?
Okay, that's it.
Well.
There, you bastard.
I didn't serve with General Lee. I was from the north.
All right, now, William, we're going to take a drill to his nuts.
Faithfully.
Yes, sir. God bless you,
take that boy to the Vietnam...
Yes.
Or to the Vietnam hospital or to the VA hospital someplace and show him what those boys and men went through over there.
My mother made me lie with her every time she had her special orange juice.
All right, I'm taking a sandblaster to your gonads. You filthy mouth little piece of garbage.
You need to get rid of that boy out
of
your family because he's going to ruin the rest of the good men that are there.
Hey, William, this is interesting. I have another veteran calling in. His name is Lloyd in Alhambra. Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here, and I want to back up what William was saying in the Commandant. I served my country in the United States Navy as well, William. I was with the U.S. Navy at Chosin Reservoir when we pulled the Marines out of there in Korea. And I'll tell you something right now. This little... Oh, why did you get a piece of fat and slide off? Why, you filth... All right.
Shut the hole under your nose.
It's too bad that he has been raised the way he has.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
I believe really and truly that his parents are at fault, and they've gotten rid of him because he has this attitude, and he's probably a spoiled brat.
Hey, William, did you ever have to fight a dictator?
You mean dictator, you dumbass.
About dictators, I talk about dictators.
You don't speak good English.
Who do you think Hitler was?
A dictator?
No, he was a dictator, not a dictator, as you call it.
Yes,
you don't even know how to speak.
I am so ashamed of the fact that this young man...
What do you mean, a dictator?
Okay, that's it. I'm done with this foul-mouthed little piece of crap. Listen, William, for all of the service to our country, we appreciate it very much.
Well,
you're a fine man, and thank you very much for still being with us. So many
you
of our
know
World
what
War
to
II
do
vets
with,
are...
I'll tell you what to do with that young fellow. They're in California, right?
Yes, sir.
Take him out about 5 mile or 10 mile or 50 mile and drop him off in deep water. That'd be the best thing ever happened to this country.
Preferably from an airplane.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, way up.
All right, sir. Thank you very much, William.
You bet. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. A dictator.
Well, I didn't know.
Oh, shut up.
Shut the hole under your nose. Shut your filthy sewer.
You...
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
Hi there, Phil Hendry Show. The voice of R.C. Collins was performed by me. I also want to thank Brian in Wichita for the bit idea. Occasionally, our listeners will write into phs@philhendryshow.com with a good idea for a bit. And, like, what is it, like once a year maybe? So, Brian, you made the cut. It was a good idea. Helped us out today. I know we looked at this movie secrets. Is this a new movie secret sheet that you gave me, Janice? Because on this list it says we did this the other day, didn't we? The reason the grunts in Platoon look so naturally wasted is that they're actually smoking dope. Forget it. These are movie tips and movie secrets. You know, today we had the Academy Awards. They released the nominations for the different movies, and this is probably the first year in a long time I haven't seen any of them. I mean, I ain't seen a one. I saw Gangs of New York, and I saw, there had to be another one of those movies I saw. I can't think of what it might be. One of them I must have seen. I went and saw Gangs of New York because I really wanted to see a great movie, and it wasn't. It was lousy, but I don't know anything. What do I know? I don't know what's good. I don't know what's bad. Have you ever recommended a really lousy movie to friends and they come back and they're, why would you do that to me? Why would you make me waste my time? Have you ever done that? I did it once with a movie called Papillon years ago. Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman. I've seen that movie again, and it ain't as good as it was when I first saw it in the movie theater. My friends saw it and they all came back. Oh, you owe me $8. Pay up now. You owe me $8. Fish in the dish. Iraq grants anti-war human shields entry visas. Yes, the news is fast and furious out of the Middle East. We told you earlier about, of course, Osama bin Laden's tape, which virtually assures the connection between Al-Qaeda and the Iraq regime. There's just no turning away from it. There's no spinning away. There's no coming up with any kind of a spin on this thing, baby. It's as clear as the nose in your face. Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, these guys are playing lawn darts together. They and their families get together for Sundays. These guys are in bed together. All that horse manure about, well, you haven't been able to ascertain linkage between Saddam Hussein. Yeah, well, I hope you saw the news today. Big as life. Big. It's almost as if somebody said, hey, Osama, we need a good reason to get us into this war because most people are getting kind of chicken on this thing. It's almost as if somebody said it to him and he said, okay, wait for tomorrow's mail. I'll have a really good tape for you. All right. And today he comes out with suicide bombings against Americans, suicide bombings against Jews. So, and by the way, that could mean both Jew and American. Suicide bombings, you know, use them. The Iraqis ought to use them. We love the Muslim brothers, even if they are sort of secular and socialist like Saddam is. We can kick the crap out of the Americans. They're scared crapless of us. I mean, everything you could possibly say to provoke somebody, he said it. Now, we'll see if anybody around here has got a pair and is willing to react to all of that. Who cares whether we kill that guy or not? You really want to get down to it? Who cares? You'll notice the guy comes out with these tapes every now and again. They're not coming out fast and furious like they used to, and there's no videotape. Why? I think it's because he's scared to death that you can analyze videotape better than you can audiotape. You can get a key as to where a guy is if you send videotape. I believe that. Anyway, who cares? A group of around 50 Western anti-war activists received visas Tuesday to enter Iraq, where they plan to form human shields in an effort to deter a possible U.S.-led attack on the Arab state. The volunteers said at an impromptu news conference in the Turkish capital they hoped their presence and the possibility of Western casualties would encourage U.S. political leaders and military planners to rethink any plans to bomb Baghdad for its alleged development of weapons of mass destruction. I'm an American human shield on this trip to Baghdad to try and stop this war, said volunteer John Rossi. Don't I look smart, he said. I ask American troops headed here not to come. They have no business being here. They do not make good ambassadors. They are here to kill, murder, devastate the civilian population of Iraq. That is not an American thing to do. What happens to a man that he reaches a point in his life and he says such patently dumb things? Where, you know, what travels did he have to travel? What journeys did he have to journey? That he would say such patently dumb things as accusing American soldiers of murder. Murder. You know what murder is, don't you? See, people who use that word use it to provoke. They use it to provoke. Murder is when you purposefully target a non-combatant, someone who is not expecting to be shot at or killed, someone who is an innocent, basically. That's murder. We don't do that. As much as people would like to think we do, because every other country in the world probably does it. And Saddam Hussein, I mean, he's practiced it to a fine art. Doesn't mean Americans do it. I wonder if this guy John Fossey or Rossi or whatever the hell his name is and the rest of these human shields, I bet you they're just licking Saddam Hussein's ass up one side and down the... Oh, yes, Mr. Dictator. So nice to meet you. I bet you're going to come out and do a photo op with him. Just like, what's the guy? Sean Penn. Oh, man. Why don't you just sit in his lap while you're over there? Well, why not? It's the Americans that are murdering. The Iraqis, they ain't doing nothing. Saddam Hussein, he's a sweetheart, man. He's giving everybody, I mean, they've got, it's raining beer over there. The group is traveling across Turkey in a convoy, including a red double-decker bus that is expected to cross into Syria on Wednesday before entering Iraq. The volunteers left London late last month and headed overland across Europe. On arriving in Iraq, they plan to disperse to populated areas of Baghdad and other parts of the country. Critics have said they are naively playing into Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's hands. Oh, my God. In Turkey last week, deported Ken Nichols, a former U.S. Marine who helped organize the Human Shields campaign, after he tried to enter the country using documents describing himself as a citizen of the world. Edward Cranswick, a seismologist who works for the U.S. government, said he wanted to raise awareness among Americans. Raise awareness among Americans. In other words, he wants to make us smarter. He wants to hip us. He wants to show us something that he knows that we don't know. I believe I'm doing a small bit to raise attention, particularly among the American public. I want to be a human being alongside the Iraqis, and that will get the attention of Americans. When the war is over, Mr. Cranswick, and the American troops are gone, and you've been successful in staving off an attack against Iraq, are you going to be with the Iraqi people as they're being arrested in the middle of the night, taken to prison, tortured? Are you going to be with them while they suffer under those UN sanctions that you don't like? Are you going to be with them then? Are you going to be with them when they just go missing in the middle of the night, as they, as thousands have over the last several years under Saddam Hussein? Are you going to be with them as they sit there hungry while Saddam goes off in a convoy to one of his 20 mansions? Or are you just going over there, pal, to get your face in the newspaper? You just want to get your face in the newspaper. You just love that, wouldn't you? Hey, George, as soon as the human shields are in place, I say you start bombing. That's when I think you ought to start with the air war. As soon as Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. Such-and-such from Busted Whistle, Iowa are over there, I say, you guys in place in the populated areas?
Yes, we are.
Okay, bombs away. This guy Hussein hates his people so much, he's put troops in populated areas. He hates his people so much that he's put artillery next to mosques. He hates his people so much that any potential target for the United States military is put in civilian areas next to mosques, next to hospitals, so that when we try to take it out and the collateral damage takes out a hospital, then every schmuck, every dummy, every idiot in this country can say, look, see, America's targeting civilians. 1-800-449-8686. Look, why don't we take Roman Polanski and Martin Scorsese, too, as long as we're on the subject. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
You kind of worried me.
All right, we're on the air now. Chris Norton is with us. He's written a book called Maybe It's Normal, and you are still shopping for a publisher, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Tell me about Maybe It's Normal. What is the book about? Where are you right now?
Right now I'm in a printing room in the office that I work at, and I'm running off copies of a synopsis of the book that we're going to send to publishers, and hopefully we're going to get a publisher.
What is Maybe It's Normal about?
Maybe It's Normal really started a few years ago after the initial Michael Jackson controversy. And I felt that it was important to investigate, is it possible, and I want everybody to hear what I'm saying here, Mr. Henry, is it possible that what we call child molestation is normal?
Why would it possibly be normal?
Because there are a lot of them. There are a lot of people who do it. And in recent times, we found that there are even more. There's Michael Jackson is one. We find out that Pete Townsend of The Who, of the rock band The Who, could possibly be one. He had pornography of some kind, child porn. The Catholic priests, I mean, there's a lot of them. Roman Polanski is a Hollywood director who has sex with a 13-year-old girl. In my book, Maybe It's Normal, I explore the possibility that there may be so many people out there who think sex with a kid is normal that it is, and that we're the ones, you and me, the straight people, are forcing them to justify what they like. I mean, think about it. What if I force you into justifying why you like women, what would you say?
What you're asking me, what if you did what?
What if I forced you into justifying? What if I asked you, why do you like women?
I say I just do.
Exactly. I mean, that's the only justification. That's what these people are saying. why do you like to sleep with a kid? The answer is, I just do.
And what would the children say if you asked them, the victims in all of this? Forget about the people who you're saying maybe are normal. What would the kids think?
Well, I mean, it's really not for them to decide. This is possibly a very normal thing, and they'll just have to go along with it.
What do you mean, just go along with it? They're children.
Look, Mr. Henry, a long time ago, people what are gay, people thought they were abnormal. Now we find that being gay is normal. It's possible that we're going to find out that, you know, having sex with an underage kid is normal.
How could it possibly be?
Well, I can tell you from my own experience. I had sex with a young girl, okay, not a boy, but with a girl.
How old was she?
She was 16.
How old were you?
I was 25.
Well, I think that's wrong, pal. I think that's very wrong.
Well, I mean, that's easy for you to judge, but she was very hot. She was very sexy.
She's still a kid, man. 15 years of age, you get popped for that, you go away.
Ah, you say I get popped for it, I go away, but you didn't say it's immoral. Go ahead, tell me that's immoral.
To have sex with a 15-year-old girl when you're 25, I think it's immoral.
Why?
Because it's against the laws of the land. It's against the laws of the society. I think a grown man can wait till a woman hits 18.
She was very, very hot.
I don't care. You know, you take a 15-year-old girl and doll her up, I'm sure they look really hot. They're hot. They're little girls in makeup. That's what I see when I see a 15-year-old girl in high heels and tight pants. It's a little girl playing grown-up. And you took the bait, pal. You took the bait.
Mr. Henry, I would dare say every man would take the bait.
No.
Well, yeah, how do you know? Would you take the bait?
No, I would not, because in the business that I'm in, I've had occasion, and believe me, I wouldn't take the bait. I don't need that grief. Who needs the jail cell? Who needs the father with the shotgun? You see what I'm saying?
But the point is, there's a lot of men out there who have, and there's a lot of women out there who, when they was young, they did. So why wouldn't it be normal? Michael Jackson, I mean, I was thinking of this when I saw Michael Jackson. My girlfriend was saying how disgusting he was. And I said to myself, look at bitch, how do you know it isn't normal?
You called your girlfriend bitch?
Well, I mean, it's just that she's always talking about stuff she doesn't know anything about. If she just shut up. So I said...
So you said, look, bitch.
No, I just said, how do you know it isn't normal? And I'll tell you a little something out of my life, Mr. Henry. I had sex with a 13-year-old girl once.
All right, so now it's a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Yes, sir.
I think it's twisted.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm going to point something out to you and your listeners right now. And I want your listeners to think about this. Once upon a time, you know, back in the olden days, there was a man named Christopher Columbus. They said the world was flat, and he went in a boat and said that it wasn't. Somebody's got to, you know, in other words, they say stuff's crazy till a guy proves that it isn't.
So the world of sex with underage kids is suddenly the world of Christopher Columbus. What are you, the Christopher Columbus of underage sex?
No, sir, I'm just saying that...
I mean, I think it's a ridiculous comparison.
Why? Why is it?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, because you just believe one way, you can't believe another way. I'm just saying people always condemn what they don't understand. We fear the unknown. The seven astronauts that died, they feared the unknown.
Don't you dare bring those people's names up in this...
Well, Mr. Henry...
Don't you dare bring up those astronauts in this perverted conversation. Hold the line here for just a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Chris Norton, who's written a book called Maybe It's Normal. He says that there are so many people getting arrested or otherwise exposed for sex with minors that maybe it's normal. He compares the fact that at one time we thought gay people were abnormal, and now we think they're normal, to that. He also brings up the Christopher Columbus analogy. So in other words, you or people like you are boldly going where no one went before?
I think you have to say to yourself, you know, people who like sex with kids, maybe they are... going, you know, a part of a world that we don't know nothing about, but it's not necessarily sick. And I can prove it to you. Ask any man when he sees, what about that school teacher that went with that kid out of town?
Which one?
That woman who took that 15-year-old kid, and they had themselves a good time in Las Vegas. What about that?
Whatever, man. I mean, who cares? There's a million of them out there. There's a lady that took a kid. There's a guy that took a girl. There's all kinds of freaks. So they go out there, they have sex with kids. You know why?
I mean, listen.
You know why?
Why?
Because they can't relate to adults. That's why. Because they're stunted emotionally, because they have no idea how to relate to another human being who's adult. So they get their jollies with kids, manipulating kids. And Michael Jackson, I read the deposition of that kid back in 93. This guy, Jackson, is a 44-year-old man who's stuck in childhood.
He loves children, that's all. He said he loves children. And what about that lady, Mary Kay Letourneau? She loved that boy.
Oh, baloney. And Michael Jackson, let me tell you something else. Michael Jackson, does he love kids?
Yeah, that's I believe he does.
Oh, really? What happens when they turn 14, 15, and 16? Does he still like them? Is he still giving them milk and cookies and playing music? Suddenly you got a teenager sitting there. You think he wants to have milk and cookies there and the fire lit and all that other that baloney that he was talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, come on. Hey, Mike, I'd like to know what Michael Jackson thinks. If he loves kids so much, what does he think about 17-year-old, pimply-faced kids like that? With braces, bad breath, and purple hair.
Well, that's not what he was talking about.
Oh, no, that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about underage minors. Good luck, pal. 1-800-449-8686. Maybe it's normal. Sex with underage kids. Because Michael Jackson does it. The priests do it. Pete Townsend does it. Roman Polanski does it. Mary Kay Letourneau does it. Maybe it's normal. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies.
We're back on with Chris Norton. I'm sorry? Yeah, we're back on with Chris Norton, who is a... He believes that child molestation might possibly be... Who? Yeah, David.
Yeah, you're going to kill this bit. Kill it.
I'm sorry?
I said to kill the bit. Kill it. I don't want any bits about child molestation. You get it?
Well, he was a...
Kill it. It's done. Well, he was on to talk about... I don't want it on. Not funny.
I didn't think it was funny.
Well, then just don't put it on.
Michael Jackson, he's been in
the... Oh, who cares about him? Michael Jackson's been in the news. Will you knock it off already with him? You know, I used to think that you were an original thinker. Why are you doing Michael Jackson?
Well, because he was in the news.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He was in that interview last week with that Packy, that whoever, that Indian from England. What else is he in the news for?
I mean, you know, the little kid sleeping with...
You did it last week with that Dean Wheeler schmuck. It's done. It's over. Every time I turn around and look at a Michael Jackson, forget it, will you? That guy is so washed up, and he's such a has-been that I am shocked. I'm stunned that you would do something with Michael Jackson as the basis of your material.
Somebody wanted to comment on this.
What?
There's some caller here. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Hall. This is really...
Oh, get out of here. I talked to you last hour.
Well, let the kid...
I don't want the kid on.
See that little freak from the military academy?
Yeah. Hi, you're on the air.
I agree. You're really beating a dead horse with that.
But...
Can you hang up on him, too?
Yes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Phil. I love your program very much.
Thank you.
But I have to agree with Mr. Hall. All this Michael Jackson talk, all everybody doing material about Michael Jackson this, Michael Jackson that, I think most of the disc jockeys and talk show hosts are pederasts themselves. They love talking about little boy and rubbing up their leg and everything.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. What's your name?
Yes, my name is Clara Bingham. I live in Bellflower, California.
Well, I really think there's something to what the lady's saying. You guys that do shows, you always talk about Michael Jackson. What, do you want to have sex with a kid yourself?
That's my feeling.
Of course I don't.
Then why don't you get off of it already? The guy's a has-been.
Michael Jackson fell is beneath you. He about had a hit record in so long. I mean, I don't know the last one he did, you know, The Way You Make Me Feel or something. I don't know what the last hit record he had.
I don't know what it was either. He did halftime at the Super Bowl, and that's the last I saw of him with the hand on the crotch. Get out of here.
I really agree with that, Phil. I think you need to move on.
All right, I'm going to move on.
I mean, Michael Jackson, let Rick Dees do that stuff, will you?
I love Rick Dees.
Well, I do too, but...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. All right, no more freaking Michael Jackson. I didn't want to do it. My producer made me. Women who eat a lot of red meat, fats, and refined grains could be increasing their risk of colon cancer. That's according to a new study by the Harvard School of Public Health. I'd like you to know, folks, it's crap. Eat all the red meat you want. First, you don't eat red meat. Then you should eat more red meat. First, you shouldn't have carbs. Then you should have a lot of them. Is there any reason why, any wonder at all, why women are out there getting sicker than ever before? Breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. They're eating red meat 1 week, and the next week they're not eating red meat. The researchers... What?
So this is what we get, huh?
Now what?
Oh, okay. So I blow up your Michael Jackson bit. Now we're getting red meat. What has happened to your show anyway?
Do I gotta suffer your chastisement in front of my listeners?
Yes. Yes, you do. When your show is sucking this hard and this beautifully, yes. Michael Jackson and now women shouldn't eat red meat. What about it?
A new study led by the Harvard School examined an association between dietary patterns and colon and rectal cancer.
Oh, great. Rectal cancer. Beautiful.
Get out of here.
Hey, bud, what do you think of that?
It's pretty funny.
Rectal cancer. Henry's going to do a bit on it.
I am not doing a bit on it.
You should do a bit on it. That's our way. It's funny.
What? What language was that?
I understood it.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Mr. Hall.
Yeah?
Listen to this.
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter, egg salad. You got it? Jesus. Red meat the guy's given me.
What would you suggest I do?
Look at, pal, I'm not producing your show. Come up with something. Anything. Michael Jackson is old. Red meat, women. What are you doing here, man? Is this the Dr. Dean E. Dull show?
I have the transcript of the kid that was...
What kid?
The kid that was deposed in the Michael Jackson...
Oh, here we go again with that guy. What else you got?
I was going to play a song.
All right, by who?
It was Michael Jackson.
Jesus! What else?
You don't want to hear it.
What else?
I had a list here of all of the albums that...
Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
...had ever recorded. Then I was going to read the Watergate documents.
Jesus. I can't help you, man. You're on your own.
You're on your own. You're Mr. Hall.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm on my own, man. You can leave now, because I ain't expecting any help from you.
Okay. I could help kill a couple of minutes.
Yeah, you could kill a couple of minutes, all right. Every time you're on the air, it's murder.
Wait a minute. Every time I'm on the air, it murder.
Yeah, every time you're on the air, it murders my show.
I didn't do the Michael Jackson material.
I didn't say you did, all right, but I could have bailed it out if you hadn't been putting those calls through from Hall. I gotta take a call from him about Michael Jackson, red meat. I'm trying desperately here, okay, to come up with something.
Look at pal. I gotta tell you something, Phil. I like you a lot, but I'm really You know, this is bad. I'm going to have to hook up the show monitor.
You're not going to hook up the show monitor.
Yeah, I am.
You mean that thing that goes beep, 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 beep?
Yeah, well, it goes beep, 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 beep when I'm talking, but it flatlines when you start opening your mouth.
All right. I guess you have to hook up the show monitor.
All right. Now, we're going to have it on. Here, let me just plug this in right now. You're going to see how you're doing here. Okay, it's going really good. All right, so start talking.
Well, what do you want me to talk about? I just, Roman Polanski, nominated for directing, The Pianist.
Yeah, it's good. I guess you're really interesting because it's going up and down.
He's a convicted felon and a fugitive, and that's not going to go away, District Attorney Spokeswoman Sandy Gibbons said. You don't get a pass for longevity. Polanski, the director of Rosemary's Baby in Chinatown, was charged with rape and five other felonies.
Now that's funny.
After having intercourse with a girl at Jack Nicholson's home.
Very funny stuff.
Take this and get out of here, and take your show monitor with you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show. We got our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And, you know, you pick up all of your Phil Hendry Show stuff, merchandise, what have you. There's the Bobby Dooley shirt. There's the Jay Sano shirt. There's the Teds of Beverly Hills shirt. And I don't know what else we have. Oh, the official Phil Hendry Show shirt. We also have our Best Of CDs that go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And you can buy that either online or you can get it over the phone at 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. And all of the money goes to my friend's place. Not, you know, there's not like a percentage. Just all of it. You know, we don't have the Phil Hendry charities here. In other words, you know, wherever the money goes, we tell you where it goes. This is not, I'm not running some kind of a clearinghouse for charities. You understand? I'm not. In other words, we don't have a series of charities that are unnamed, and we'll just take your money and maybe we'll just dump them on one of them or some of them or all of them. But we tell you exactly where the bread goes to, and we've been giving it to these guys for the last 6-7 years, and they've been giving it to us. No, we've been giving them our money for the last 6-7 years, and we're very happy because they do great work. You know, they help kids on the street, stuff like that. Rather than going to Iraq and being a human shield over there, why don't you come back here and help some of these kids? That'd be a great idea. You idiots. With your human shield. What is it, man? Are you bored since the kids left home? Is that it? You know, there comes a time when you just have to say you're scared. And once you say it, It's a liberating thing. You don't have to say, this is an illegal war. You don't have to say this. Just say you're scared. Just say you're frightened and you don't want to have a war. And then we all know where you're coming from. Well, at the other end of this thing, let's just remember who our friends were. On the other side of this thing, or I may just change my mind about all of this. I think what we should do is not have this war with Iraq, and come what may, let the chips fall where they may. Let's let Iraq just keep doing what they're doing. Let's dump a whole bunch of inspectors in there. Let's let them just keep making idiots out of everybody, because it is kind of entertaining. Let's watch them just make jackasses out of everybody, hiding stuff here, hiding stuff there. Let's see the endless footage of Hussein sitting there sucking a cigar and playing a guitar at the end of the day on the news. And fine, and we'll just let things keep at the status quo, so to speak. And if we get hit with another terrorist attack, which they tell us is inevitable, we'll just say, well, you know, that's cool. That's life in these here United States in the 21st century. Isn't that what that stupid-ass Norman Mailer said? There's an acceptable amount of terrorism? There's an acceptable level of terrorism. Because it's better that we just sit here and let them kill us every now and again than to go over there and wage a war that may take out a guy who is sponsoring some of this stuff. Because God forbid we should do that. It hurts the innocent Iraqi people. And after all of those human shields, they're in solidarity with the Iraqi people. Sometimes. It's wonderful to live in a country like this because you have the luxury to indulge yourself under the illusion that you're doing good. You have the luxury of indulging in commentary about the government and commentary about the world, and you can sit and actually fool yourself into thinking that you're doing wonderful things. You can sit and indulge in the luxury of calling the United States a multinational terrorist regime and all these other things. You just want to hear yourself talk. I think we could make a deal with France. We lay off the war. We won't go to war. But if we get attacked again, then we get to drop a bomb on France, a nuclear bomb. How about that, France? Tell you what, we won't go to war against Iraq. You'll get what you want. But if, for whatever reason, terrorists attack us one more time, we get to take out one of your cities with a nuclear weapon. I think it's a very good deal. Paris would be nice. Marseille would be nice. The whole French Riviera would be nice. What do you think? I know. How about we take out a German city? I mean, they're due. We took out two Japanese cities. One of them should have been a German city. It must be nice to sit and indulge in the luxurious chit-chat of what a horrible place America is as you sip a latte someplace. You're going to go over to Iraq, and you're going to make friends with who? Saddam Hussein? Maybe if you have sex with him, maybe we get enough American housewives to go to Iraq and service Saddam Hussein sexually, maybe then he'll lay off the murder and torture of his own people and his designs for funding and enabling terrorists who go out and murder civilians in other countries as well. Maybe if American women who think they're being human shields and think they're doing good for the Iraqi citizens will go over there and really do some good by having continuous sex with Saddam Hussein, any kind of sex that he desires, maybe then you'll talk the guy into doing some good. Other than that, forget it. How far are you willing to go to help the Iraqi people, ladies? Are you willing to go to Iran? Or, excuse me, is it Iraq? Which country is he? Iraq. Are you willing to go to Iran anyway? And service him sexually? That Italian porn star, for what was her name? Macaroni something. She was going to have sex with him if it would stop the Gulf War. He didn't take her up on it. And I wouldn't have either because I got a good look at her and it wasn't too good. Well, she was a porn star and she was at first glance good looking, but then you realize, I don't know, there might be some health issues. Because the only way that Saddam Hussein is even going to consider doing anything good for his people is if something drastic happens, and that's like 100 American housewives go over there and join his harem. Maybe then. The only way to deal with this situation was get it done now. Tonight, Bush. President Bush, forget it, baby. Just do it now. Under the cover of darkness, start hitting them. And all of those poor Iraqi civilians that everybody claims they care about, which of course they don't, they're just going to have to hunker down, bunker down, and whatever it is they got to do, and get down with their bad selves, and just hide, man. Just hide for a while. Until the smoke clears. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. United States of America in Afghanistan. Maybe you think that this is an illusion that never really happened, but it did. We dropped food and medicine. As we were going after Al-Qaeda, we dropped food and medicine. We actually did that. I know it's shocking, but we actually did do that. Now, I know you don't believe we did it, but we did. The president has stated that we're going to go in with medicine and foodstuffs as we go in militarily. You may not believe that, but I believe it. I believe that we will do that. We did it the last time at bat. And I still say 6 to 8 weeks of an American invasion is far preferable to the continuous UN sanctions that everybody says they're so upset about because it hurts, who is it again? Oh, yeah, the Iraqi people that everyone says that they care so much about. So which is it, people? You want to just leave Saddam by himself so that we can go on with those sanctions, those people keep suffering? Is that what you want? Yes, that's what Martin Sheen wants. That's what Richard Gere wants. That's what Susan Sarandon wants. That's what every dumbass in this so-called anti-war movement that is no anti-war movement at all. It has no, it bears no resemblance to any peace movement that I have ever seen. Most of the peace movements that I have been conversant with, associated with, or understood have some intelligence at work, and they have some logic at work. This one has none. This one has to do simply with an abject fear of war and a belief that war never does any good. And, of course, that's ridiculous. Has anybody ever heard of World War II? You know, those concentration camps that the Allies liberated, they didn't do it by throwing flowers at the Germans. They didn't do it by acting as human shields against the bombardment of Berlin. If they had, well, they would have saved the life of Roland Freisler, one of the worst Nazis the world has ever known. He was the hanging judge of Nazi Germany. He hung the people of the German resistance using piano wire. He was killed by an American bomb when he went back into his office to get some papers. Now, if the human shields had been to work, we wouldn't have dropped the bomb. And good old Roland, man, well, who knows? He might have escaped off into the wilderness along with Martin freaking Bormann and the rest of that scum. You know, we didn't get the concentration camps liberated by smiling and they're loving our good looks, man. We rolled in there with Tiger freaking tanks. Do you understand? We didn't liberate countries like Belgium, Denmark, and yes, even France, by grinning and blowing kisses. We did it with the paratroopers, we did it with an invasion, we did it with a war. Belgium, the country that goes against us in NATO today, we liberated that country, and along with it, thousands of Jews that were hiding out. Denmark, the same thing. And in France, where they gleefully stuck them into cattle cars and sent them off to the concentration camps in the east, the French police, by the way, have one of the, I mean, the black mark on their souls will never be scrubbed away. The gendarmes of France, today we have the same gendarmes that walk the streets of Paris. The police assisted the Germans in dragging Jews out of their homes and stick them into cattle cars. Can you imagine that? A professional police force in the civilized world has to live that down? Can you imagine if the American police had a hand in taking people and sending them off to ovens? I'm not talking about internment camps. I'm talking about ovens. The French police did that. It took the American soldiers, the British soldiers, and Canadian soldiers to liberate that country. Now we've got literally hundreds of our men buried in French soil. We ought to go over there and dig every last one of them up and bring them home. I'm telling you right now, we ought to go back to Normandy, dig every last one of those guys up and bring them home. And the last guy out, bring the flag too. Look, France, we're under no illusions. We're going to pretend that you love us and we love you. Take your country and pound it sideways. We're taking our guys out of the ground. We're going to bring them back. We're going to turn them in Arlington and do whatever you want to do with your funky, funky, funky country. But we will tell you this. The next time we need to fly over your country because we have to rescue some hostages or we have to prepare for an invasion to try to liberate some people, the next time we need to fly over your country, we're not going to ask permission. What do you think of that? We're just going to do it. Now that's comedy. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. Show
1-800-449-8686. So I guess Americans have apparently heeded the U.S. government's advice to prepare for terror attacks because the hardware stores don't have duct tape. On Tuesday, less than 24 hours after the U.S. Fire Administrator David Paulson described a list of useful items, stores in the greater D.C. area reported a surge in sales of plastic sheeting, duct tape, and other emergency items. You know, these guys have one thing at their disposal that they are really good at, and it's just scaring the crap out of everybody. And this guy, Bin Laden's really good at it. We're going to hit you like you've never been hit before. It's going to make 9/11 look like a picnic. And everybody starts running off grabbing duct tape. I ain't saying that they can't do something. I doubt very much if it's going to be apocalyptic, cataclysmic, or, in other words, radiological. Bin Laden figures because he survived all that bombing in Tora Bora that's the way to do it. I don't know how many people we killed over there with bombs. Thousands. But because this guy crawled out alive, he figures, well, that's the way to do it. Just crawl into a hole. Anyway, plastic sheeting, duct tape, etc. to seal doors and windows. In the first 48 to 72 hours of an emergency, many Americans will likely have to look after themselves. If an attack occurs, Paulson said, households should tune into local media outlets and not... this crap. Unbelievable. We're talking about a guy who's living in a cave. What he does have are people willing to blow themselves up. That's what he's got. He's got guys that are willing to blow themselves up, except for him. If only we could talk him into blowing himself up, that would be so sweet. If we could just get Ben to strap a bomb on. But, you know, something, for some reason, he didn't have the guts for that. He's hanging around down there in a cave. Everybody else gets to barter themselves, but he's down there watching Cub games on a satellite dish. Or whatever it is he's doing. World Cup reruns, I don't know. Do you suppose he likes sports? What if Bin Laden is a huge NHL fan?
You people will find that there is nothing, nothing at all that I will stop at. And, oh, shoot.
Ottawa's moving? I didn't... Arena League? He's just got one big weakness. It's arena football. Other than that, he hates our country.
This country you live in is nothing but death and destruction. It's pigs, all of you pigs.
But I do like the Avengers. Are they, did they win last week? Yes, they did, 60-48. Damn. I got four tickets for you, Ben.
Yeah, I love that arena football. It's the only thing about America. I can't figure it out. I love to go to arena football. And I love, you know, the nachos with cheese. It's nuts, I know, you know.
You really got this weakness, huh?
Yes, I do. I hate your country. I hope it goes to hell. But I like the monster beer and nacho cheese. And sit down, man. Watch that Graziano, man. Go for it.
Beautiful. Well, sorry, Ben, but I can't help you with any of that, you know. I got to kill you.
Okay. Will you let me go to a couple of games before you? And I want to sit under the goalpost for the free balls.
All right. I guess you need balls, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Send it over to season seats to Ben, man. Maybe that'll smoke him out. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.